Great day, everybody. I'm Sherry McIntosh, and this is the King and Two Queens podcast, where hosts David Carruthers, Karen Penn, and myself talk about how to power up relationships. So let's get into it.
What's up, beautiful people? I am David Carruthers. This is a King and Two Queens podcast, where we power up relationships with relevant solutions. So today's topic is chasing greatness together. Chasing greatness together. Here's why. We're better together than we are apart. Life can suck when it's just lived alone and when you do things alone. It's not God's intention for us to be alone. Third one is your greatness, our greatness comes out best or better when somebody else is with us or when somebody else sees us. So, as always, I got the queens with me. Say hey, queens. We got Queen Sherry. We got Queen Karen.
Hey,
how y'all doing today?
I'm doing
all right. So I'm excited about this. Good. Excited about this podcast. So as we always do, we're gonna go back to
the time tunnel.
Tunnel is a representation of going back into time and leaving or choosing a song that is associated with this topic called Chasing Greatness Together. Here we go.
Mad at me, you need a real woman in your life. Taking care of home and still fly. And I'ma help you build up your account. Believe in me, when you're in them big meetings for the meals. It take me just to compliment the deal. And anything you cop, I took the bill. Believe in me. And now let me upgrade your autumn up a cake.
Okay, so let's go over some of the lyrics of that song. Here's why and I'm not even honestly, I'm not even a big fan of that song specifically, but I'm a huge fan of what she was saying and why she was saying it, okay? And the reason why I chose that song is because a lot of people talk, they're big talkers today. Everyone talks a good talk today. Social media, everybody's a star, yada, 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 yada. But when it comes down to it, they're not performing. Here's what Beyonce said in that. She said, you need a good woman in your life, one who will take care of home and still fly. I can help you build your account. That's a good thing. Baby, let me upgrade you. That's what the song is saying. You got a whole lot of women today who are just like, can you upgrade me? Because if you can't upgrade me, I ain't rocking with you.
Yeah, I don't think women's goals today are to upgrade a guy. The people women are upgrading themselves.
I'm trying.
Yeah, because you know it's all about not being left with the bag in case he leaves. At least you still have something. So if I invest in some guy upgrading him, then you know if he leaves, what do I have? You know, so. It's always this kind of assurance thing going on. Assurance that you're not left high and dry after giving all to somebody. I think maybe that's what's behind the thinking today of being that's considered self-empowered and, you know, you upgrading your own self. So.
Right. But go ahead, Sherry.
I was going to say, you know, I'm not sure if I completely agree with you, Karen, because I have found that women are so busy trying to find a man with the six-figure income and just the right car and just the right body and, you know, an obese house and all of that stuff. I don't think they're necessarily thinking along the lines of upgrading so much as, you know, what can you do for me?
Sort of. A lot of women are gearing towards careers, education. So you're self-sufficient, you know, a lot. And if they're not, that's what they're driven by. They're like, listen, before I get that man, I'm going to have this, that, and the other. I'm going to have a house. I'm going to have my this and that. And so I've said before, a guy can feel like, where do I fit? You know, like, what is there to do together? In other words, you're all set. You got
a house, you got a home,
you live, you got everything. And now you want me to come into your world so that you can tell me what to do, or you tell me how you tell me how I fit in your world that you already built, because you're self-sufficient.
That's why I named this Chasing Greatness Together, because we're not doing things together. We're doing things individualistic. And that's a huge trick of the media, because it's a type of thing where it's like, listen, first of all, we all want the same thing. We all want money. We all want the nice house. We all want the car we all want all the trimmings. The question is, how are we going to get it? And it shouldn't be. I strongly reject the fact. I was talking to this woman and I said, the way things have been going for me, I don't think that some things are going to happen for me until I get a wife. And she said, you need to have all of your ducks in a row before you get her. Well, if I have all of my ducks in a row, why do I need you?
Thank you. Oh my goodness. And that's the problem, because some women have their little checklist and they're saying, okay, so he has a job, check. He has money in the bank, check. He has a house, check. He's got the right type of car, check. You know, he's built, check. And it's like, wait, hold up. Okay, why not let the man be a man and approach you instead of you having your little checklist? Because I don't know too many men that have a checklist on women, you know.
Right. And same. And another thing, Beyonce, first of all, listen to the lyrics of that song, because what's powerful about that song is basically she was saying, look, I can do a whole lot of things for you and I'm still going to be a woman. I'm not going to be this boss chick, okay, who's going to manipulate and dominate you. I'm going to be your queen. I'm going to be your wife. That's missing today. Okay. You can stick in. We all want the same thing. It's all about how are you going about getting it. The average man, whether you make more money than him or not, you ain't bossing him. You ain't bossing him. First of all, it's just simply out of order. It's out of order.
Yep, and you will be alone.
Well, some women will say, what order? You know, because today everything is questioned. What order? You know? Why does it have to be ... There's no understanding.
You know why? Because at the end of the... Okay, a couple reasons why. One, at the end of the day, there's right and there's wrong. Two, look at what we currently have.
Yep.
I think that's...
Look at what we currently have. Mm-hmm. And if you look honestly at what we currently have, your argument is whack and weak.
Invalid.
Okay, when you're talking to people, you know, younger generation, I would say, there's no right, wrong. There's no, everything is questioned. There's no truth. Like, what is truth? In other words, who determines that it's the truth? Everything is questioned. So there's no honing into anything and saying, this is the standard. We want to walk by this. No, they don't want a standard. The standard has become do what you want, whatever you feel, whatever right. you like, whatever feels good. That's
right.
And that's creative.
And that right is my thing, right? If you're gonna live that way, fine, but at least be honest about the fruits and the results in terms of what it's getting you. At least be honest with that. Okay, so let's get into the points of why we're chasing and how we chase greatness together. I'm so excited about this. Okay, so first point, right, of how we chase greatness together is, and this is, I just came off of another podcast where I'm excited and I got all these thoughts in my mind, right? So the first point is admit that you're wrong.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, that's why I hit it first. Admit, let me tell you something. You have no business being in a relationship if you're never wrong. It's never gonna work because you can't grow. So, first point, admit that you're wrong. I wanna play this little clip because I thought it was really cute and really funny. And Yeah, let's go into this clip.
Okay. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Do you think I have any red flags?
Yes.
Why you answer so fast?
Because you do.
Okay, what are they?
All right. Y'all ever been hit by someone in a car behind you and it was your girlfriend?
That was by accident, Vicente, and that was hella long ago. What's a real red flag? That was accident.
A real red flag is that you totaled your car crashing into me. Tried to take me off the map.
I wasn't mad at you.
Tried to take me off the map.
I wasn't mad at you, though.
And it's facts. She really crashed into me and totaled her car.
Okay.
That's a red flag.
Okay, what's another
red flag?
That's
a red flag if I ever seen it.
What's another red flag?
Another red flag if you get a more complicated order at Starbucks.
I'm done playing this.
See, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, right? This is what I'm saying. So as funny as that was, right? In all things that are funny, there's always a serious undertone or message to it, okay? And here's the message that I get from that, okay? First of all, at the end of the clip, she said, I don't want to play this game. You started the game. That's first of all. You started the game. You asked the question. He answered the question honestly, okay? And every time he said something, you diverted. That's what cowards do. They divert from the truth. She was like, I wasn't mad at you. He was like, you crashed into my car. I wasn't mad at you. You crashed into my car. Are you going to acknowledge that? And then she's like, okay, what's another red flag? He names another red flag, and then she's like, okay, I don't want to play.
It's like, but you asked. You asked the question.
I was going to say, if you ask someone, what is a red flag with you? You got to be ready to hear
what
they think is a red flag.
And be humble enough to say, you know, you're right.
What, right.
I don't get what she was looking for. Did she think he was going to say something fluffy?
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, probably.
You don't have any red flags. It's all good.
Hey, come on. Aw, you thought that was a red flag? Like,
right. Exactly.
What was he going to say, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What looking for?
Exactly. Exactly. I pulled up that clip because all of us have dealt with something like that. I've had serious conversations where as soon as it gets deep, I don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk. I remember dating this girl. She would say, I don't want to talk about it. And I would say, well, when are we going to talk about it? Mm-hmm. Christmas? When's a good time to talk about it? Because what we do, especially in this nation, we keep brushing things under the rug. That's what happened with the whole slavery thing. We're not going to get into that. But notice how it's come back. notice how it's come back with a roar. People are like, hey, we have to talk about this right now. Problems, beloved, don't go anywhere until you solve them. Okay? And if you're going to be serious about having a relationship, you have to have enough confidence is, you have to deal with your insecurities.
Yes.
Okay? It's okay to be wrong. If it's not okay to be wrong, that means you're not in a safe place, and that's a good indication that you shouldn't be with that person. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Hey, this is Karen Penn with the King and Two Queens podcast, and I want to take a moment to let you know about a special offer. A King and Two Queens is offering exclusive benefits to our loyal listeners. Check out the unique benefits of becoming a part of the King and Two Queens family. Visit us at patreon.com/exclusive offers. That's Patreon spelled patreon.com/exclusive offers. And take advantage of some really unique benefits when you become a patron. Thanks for listening, and so long for now. you know, I heard, was it Joe Rogan? Gave an apology for using the N-word. I don't think he used the N-word, but he referred to it jokingly. Somebody put together clips. I saw the clip. Sounded like he was going with some friends somewhere, and he walks into the place and he said, "Oh my gosh, it looked like I stepped into the Planet of the Apes."
Ooh.
Because there was no white people there. Well, you should have heard the backlash on that. And some of his listeners said, "You don't need to apologize," but he did apologize. So I had a comment to someone who had sent me some information about him. I said, "Well, there was a time where a white person would never apologize for using the N-word."
So right.
Somebody who's trying to clean up his act, whether he's doing that because he will lose fans and money or whatever, he still did it. He apologized.
Right, right. And yeah, like you said.
You know, so when people are wrong and they apologize for their wrong, some people still say, should have never insinuated, should have never. So where do we come back around, you know?
Well, I don't think it's about not apologizing. I think it's about being honest about the motive of your heart. What I don't agree with today is that when people, like the whole Whoopi thing, and we've had, you know, Whoopi, first of all, what Whoopi said, there was nothing wrong with what she said, okay? But then she apologized and she said, Basically, she was saying, "Listen, I'm down with the Jewish people. I got nothing but love for them." She still got canceled for 2 weeks. I don't agree with this cancel culture, because cancel culture doesn't change the heart. When Chris Collins said what he said, out of white privilege and ignorance. And I'm fine with that. What the heck are you gonna cancel him for? That doesn't change anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Canceling the situation doesn't change the situation.
Right.
The person has to change the situation.
Right. Well, Whoopi got canceled. Rogan, he didn't get anything. He just was able to apologize.
But the point is that, listen, in relationships, in real relationships, if you're going to be successful, chasing greatness together, you gotta admit when you're wrong. And you have to work on the things that you need to change to please your mate. And then also you gotta look at it like, listen, this is gonna help me become a better person.
Well, going back to the situation that Karen brought up and the situation after that, number one, you need to be very, very careful how you speak, because out of the abundance of the hat, the mouth speaks, right? So it was in your hat, you know? So even though you apologize, okay, apology accepted and all of that, but you know what? It came from somewhere. So don't try to act like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody." Well, yeah, you did. You did, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, you know?
Right.
The difference between Joe Rogan and Whoopi Goldberg is that Whoopi Goldberg misspoke. She misspoke because she, what she said wasn't completely wrong, because she was saying, you know, it's evil in the hats of people, which right. is true. The only thing she got wrong was that, you know, this isn't about race. And it's like, well, you know what? It actually is. Even though, because the Jewish nation has been considered a race. It doesn't matter what they look like, but it's been considered a race from as far back as the beginning, almost the beginning of time, you know, in Bible days. So, well, yeah, it is a race. You know,
right, right.
That was the only thing that she said wrong. You know, do I agree with the fact that Joe Rogan did not get suspended and Whoopi Goldberg did? No, I don't agree. I think that, you know, people are quick to cancel you because you said something. And Whoopi wasn't being malicious. She wasn't being mean. She wasn't saying, oh no, these Jews are no good, this, that, and the third. She wasn't being anti-Semitic. She just misspoke, you know.
I think Rogan, sort of like when you make fun of, I don't know, you say things behind closed doors that you wouldn't mm-hmm. say out in the open. He just, it was recorded what he said. Mm-hmm. I understand that often white people don't feel the same way as we do. They think of it as light humor, where we're the ones who offend it. And he also said, under no circumstances does a white person get to use the N-word, yet black people use it all the time and it has many meanings.
It's not right, no matter who says it.
That's a whole nother podcast on that.
That's a whole nother podcast, whole nother podcast. All right, so question, one of my questions is, how can we, because one of my points is, if we're going to chase greatness together, we have to respect each other's differences. How can we, and when I mean respect each other's differences, I think that today there is a battle of the genders, and if you're battling, then you can't appreciate, and if you don't appreciate, you're de-appreciating. So how can we, does that make sense?
It makes sense. I just have, you know, when you appreciate, you say appreciate one another's differences. In the black community, black women are stigmatized or stereotyped as being too aggressive, too bold, too this, too that. So that characteristic of them is not appreciated by black men often times.
Okay.
Black men go to other cultures and races to find mates because of that reason alone. And so there's a lack of appreciation for the strength of a black woman, which seems...
Okay, let me interject right there. Let me interject a little bit. sometimes it's strength and sometimes it's rebellion. Okay?
Wrong word.
Hold on. Yeah, it is a strong word. It is a strong word. But if we're going to be honest, we black people have a lot of hateful ways. And that word hate, one of the synonyms simply means mean. When I went to massage school, I was the only black guy in class, and I got to see a lot of my black ways, and I was like, whoa, not good. We're very aggressive. And here's the problem. When you're always around your own people, you don't see you. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's really, really good to be around other people. I went down south I guess I cut somebody. And it wasn't even a strong cut. It was just very, very, very weak, subliminal. And my sister was like, we don't do that down here. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? But if you're never checked, then you'll think that all this aggression, you know, this week I met two Indian women. They were so sweet and just humble and nice and just and I love it because it softened me. I get tired of always being strong and rah hood and just there's nothing wrong with being submissive. There's nothing wrong with being agreeable. Agreeable, and when I mean agreeable, I don't mean dumb. I just mean that a lot of our ways, I grew up like, yo, this is not normal.
I think we can't completely exclude some things that are just in our culture. I don't agree with being rude. But we, you know, you listen to someone who comes from Africa, their voice is so naturally loud.
Yeah, Haitians like, too.
You're like, wow, do you have to yell? They're not yelling. Black Americans are like, gee, that's loud. But yet, you know, Black Americans are considered bold and brazen that are here. But yet we look at Africans and go, gee, and it seems like they're unaware of their boldness, even to the point that stuff they wear, they don't care what you think. They'll put the African garbo on and let you know where they're from. So it depends on how this strongness is being exhibited. Black women generally just not soft and gentle like some of the other women in the other cultures. They're very meek. They're very gentle. They're very humble. They're quiet. Black women is just not like that. It doesn't.
Okay. Okay. I agree.
Be rejected at some in some place. You know, it fits with a black man say, "Woman, come here. You know, I love you." You know, even though she's fussy, like he gets her kind of. Another man be scared. Another culture, he turn, you know, be red. Like, wow, what's up with her? She's angry. So
I agree. Go ahead, Sherry, because I can say a whole lot to that. So,
first of all, my example is the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, Mother's Day, they get honored, taken out to dinner, taken on trips, flowers, candy, you name it. And they honor mothers. Fathers, they get a tie, they get a cad. Maybe they'll be taken out to dinner or to go bowling.
Yeah, no. We get IHOP. That's flour and syrup. It's a heart attack waiting to happen.
And then you've got these single parents, and please know that I am not slamming single parents, but you've got single parents, and it's mainly mothers. I haven't heard anything about single fathers, but single mothers, they're like, well, I'm mommy and daddy, so yeah, I get to celebrate Father's Day. No, wrong answer. Sit down, ma'am. Let fathers have their day. You had your day. Yes, you were a mother. And it's wonderful. God bless you. Great. But women cannot teach their sons how to be a man. Only a man can do that. We got to learn how to step back and say, okay, you know what? Even though the father may not be in the picture, surround your sons with uncles and cousins, you know, great role models that can teach them how to be a man.
Here's my thing, right? So, because I wanted to speak on what Karen said. I've seen, and we all know this, I've seen black women spend hours on their hair, on their look. They do not spend hours on their character. Women don't... Let me finish. Auntie, let me finish. Seriously. The reason why I'm saying that is because we defend our dysfunctions. There's a time and place for everything. I get it. Listen, I live in the hood, been in the hood for a very, very long time. But what I'm saying is that you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be able to curtail some things. If I want a woman, there are certain things. So for instance, if a woman said to me, called me, like right now, or after this podcast, and said, "Dave, I want to come over. I'm going to clean this house." You know why? Because women don't like a dirty environment. And right now, the house isn't so nice and pretty. You see what I'm saying? We do what we want to do, okay? And at the end of the day, there are manly characteristics and there are woman characteristics. You cannot blame your hood and your environment for being less feminine. It's not acceptable.
Oh, I'm not talking about that kind of a thing. I'm talking about how a woman is strong with her words. She sets the tone in the house. Things like that. Not somebody, a female, trying to act like a man or hard in order to show that she's not weak or something crazy like that. I'm talking about the relationship between black men and black women. A lot of times the strength of the black woman is, like you said, rebellious. She likes to have her point of view heard. At least you can't tell her shut up.
We're not talking 1950. Ain't no man telling no woman to shut up today. No.
Is that what you want her to be in a place where she has come to a point where if he gives her a look, she knows what to do? Like, what are you saying? You know, as far as what you're looking for the black woman to change into.
I'm looking for the black woman to change into the intent that she is supposed to. And what I mean by that is that if you are a queen, if you call yourself a queen has certain characteristics to her, okay? And what I'm saying is that you can defend your dysfunctions, because that's what a lot of black women do. They defend their dysfunctions. Here's the thing, you can either defend your dysfunctions or you can step up your game and come into your queendom so that you can have your king. Because what I'm saying is that this, at the end of the day, and in terms of laws, there are certain things that men from any culture, doesn't matter what the culture is man and woman is woman. And what I'm saying is that the glory of a woman, if you want your man to be all over you and respect you, you have to talk to him a certain way. If you don't, it's gonna be chaotic. And we've already mastered chaos. We've mastered that.
Absolutely. Woman should know how, and she does know how. It's a matter of choice. Does she want to?
Yes. Well, she ain't choosing it. Ain't, right, Shaniqua? She ain't choosing it. She ain't choosing it.
Here's the thing, because we're talking, just strictly talking about black women. Number one, not all black women are bold and brazen and, you know, out there and, you know, look at me and I'm a boss and I'm in charge and all of that. You know, sometimes some black women, not all, but some perpetuate the stereotypes that other races and nationalities say about us, you know, and it's not positive, you know,
right.
It's not positive at all. So when do we, as black women, look in the mirror? We want to know why. And it's not that other men of other races or nationalities aren't attracted to us, but when are we gonna look in the mirror and say, okay, you know what, maybe, and it has nothing to do with inner strength, because inner strength is one thing that can be displayed without you having to open your mouth, but when you feel the need to, you know, here's a neck roll and, oh yeah, well, I'm the boss and I'm in charge and this, that, and the third, it's like, okay, you know what? You don't necessarily have to say that, because we can come off as being intimidating. Okay. If you're an entrepreneur and you're making bank and, you know, that's all well and good. Congratulations to you. But when you meet a man who is not a white collar worker, you know, he may be a blue collar worker, he might not be making as much as you. Will you be okay with that and still allow that man to be a man? Or are you gonna say, oh no, let me go get, you know, somebody who is making $300,000 in the NBA or any sport, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever, you know, and you'd rather go with the person that you think, you know, looks good, looks attractive.
Right.
I mean, are we role reversing and using man as eye candy as opposed to the man using the women as eye candy? I don't care what you say. You're not going to be young always. There's no real thing as forever young, because if you're forever young, that means you die young. So, it, you know, I know, I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
You're talking about young people, you know. The only place you see rubbernecking is in the ghetto. You don't see that anywhere else. A lot of women are getting educated. Who has time for rubbernecking? You trying to fight this fight of life with your brains. You want to be wiser and smarter and not work harder.
Right.
That's being, you know, this is the new generation woman. Black woman. Now, can she do a rubberneck in a minute? Yes, she can, because she learned how to do it. But she's learning that you don't have to do that in order to make your points anymore. there's a new way. And so all I'm saying is that brothers got to appreciate how the Black woman is, her struggle, understand her a little bit more, and not expect her to act like women in other cultures, because we're just not, it's not in our blood.
Okay, let's end this point really quick. Because that's not what I'm saying.
We're not going to be.
Okay, but really, seriously, be okay.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about when I say respect each other's differences, I'm talking about manhood and womanhood.
Okay.
And here's what I mean by that. Okay. First of all, to be honest, it's sad that so much attention is on Black women in terms of how they are. It already means that they are out of place. Otherwise, we wouldn't be saying it. So what I'm saying, oh, come on, let's be honest.
I don't agree with that one.
Okay, but you don't agree. You don't agree, but look how much time we just spent on Black women.
That's all I can speak to. You know, I'm a Black woman. So if you're saying to me I'm out of place, I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What do you
don't think Black women are out of place? You don't think Black women are out of place?
I don't think all Black women are out of place.
I didn't say all Black women. We're talking about generally.
No.
Generally.
Hey everyone, this is Karen Penn, and I have an announcement for you. Are your relationships complicated? Are you tired of being alone? Do you need support on refocusing and maximizing your potential? Start a new journey with one of our certified life coaches to help you find balance and learn how to engage in more meaningful relationships. Connect with us at akingandtwoqueens@gmail.com. That's spelled a king, the letter N, the number 2, and the word queens. @gmail.com.
You know, in a general sense, yeah, we are out of place. You know why? Because we believe the lies that are being fed on TV shows like The Real Housewives of wherever. And that is not
so don't other women. So don't other women.
Because my point in what I'm saying is that there is an essence of manhood and there is an essence of womanhood. And today, unfortunately, and notice how we keep saying today. See, one of the things that frustrates me big time is that we're not honest about where we are. And if we're not gonna be honest about where we are, then we'll never have greatness. Because let me tell you something, the Chinese, they have greatness. You know why? Because they're in order. They're in order. We say that we want money, but we keep violating all of the laws that it takes for us to make money. You will never see Black people going into a Chinese town owning restaurants. It's not gonna happen, but it happens with us, okay? It happens with us. It happens all the time. And that's just one aspect of a whole lot of stuff. Of a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah,
because when I talk about manhood and womanhood, I'm talking about the essence of what man is and who he is, and appreciating him for who he is, and appreciating woman for who woman is. So, and what I mean by that is that there are certain things in terms of who we are. It's our greatness is not going to come out until we learn how to appreciate the differences of one another. There are some times where I'm like, huh?
Just simply coexisting.
Yeah. I say it all the time. We got more singles today than ever before in history. That's a massive problem. Our greatness is not going to come out like that. And that's because we don't know how to appreciate the differences of our sexes or of our, and it's hard to appreciate the sexes when we're creating so many genders. Whole nother show, and that's not my assignment. But that's another distraction of why we can't chase greatness together. Another one of my points is go deep or go home. Let me tell you what I mean when I say that. Go deep or go home, right? You have a huge responsibility. We have a huge responsibility to know ourselves. A lot of times we want people to love us and we don't know ourselves. And we don't know ourselves because we associate pain with looking at our pain. It's human nature. But if you don't look at your pain, you'll never get over your pain. And if you never get over your pain, you'll sabotage the relationship. So my question is, how can we go deep so that the person that is with us can love us? One of the downfalls, I guess, or one of the associations of being a man is that we don't go deep enough and that we're boring when it comes to emotions. But sometimes, and that we don't commit, we don't leave. But the other side of the argument is we leave because women don't know who they are and they're all over the place emotionally. And so it's hard to love them, so we leave. That's why I say go deep or go home.
Well, I disagree with leaving because it's hard to love. That to me, that sounds like you're not trying hard enough. And that's usually the case when a man is like, oh, this is too hard. Oh, I'm out of here. And women, they have to labor with stuff until they see the results. I think that there needs to be compassion. There needs to be vulnerability, and pride needs to be put aside. We can get somewhere. We can have those things in the forefront of what we're trying to do with each other. There's just too much focus on material things, looking good. Your focus is on looking good, but you're not good. Like, what's the point in looking good when you're really not good?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. What's the point? Everybody's glamored up, but on the inside, it's horrific. So it's because you're not being vulnerable. You're full of pride. When someone tells you something, you know it all. You don't want to hear it. You have no compassion. It's just all out of whack in order to try to come in and go deeper. Nobody's going deep. So people are falling apart, actually, because you can only do that for so long.
Right.
You start cracking. You start being depressed. You start just, you're in a lull. You don't know what to do because you're not addressing things. You're just covering it over with makeup, with glamour, getting more education, looking for a higher paying job, just looking over what's really going on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say, number one, women need to know who they are. You have to look in the mirror. And I say this all the time, if you don't like what you see, only you can change it. See, here's the thing. We don't want to deal with our issues because they're too painful. You know, we don't want to go deep and deal with, you know, why things happened in our lives. You know, either A, through no fault of our own, B, through our own fault, or C, it was something that was out of our control. You know, unfortunately, there are women and some men that like to be in control. You know, someone wrote a book that said, why don't I want to tell you who I really am? If you don't know who you are, if you're going to spend the better part of your life trying to figure out who you are, you know, you have no time for checklists. You know, you can't get into a relationship with a good man and sit there and say, okay, well, this guy is going to rescue me and he's going to be my rock in the atmosphere. No, 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 no. You cannot put your whole life and your whole life issues on somebody else.
How can we give our all? Because that's one of the reasons why good relationships and marriages are not being successful. So how can we give our all? And why should we give our all?
The reasons why you want to give it your all is because you want to appear to your significant other or your spouse as being transparent, being real, you know, being human, and basically just showing them who you are. But also the disclaimer is that you already have to know who you are. And if you don't, then you need to discover who you are so that you can be your real authentic self.
Okay.
Final thoughts, ladies, final thoughts.
You can be great by yourself, or you can be even greater with somebody. There's got to be vulnerability. There's got to be compassion. And I have to say, I believe in prayer. Get a pray, because for the long haul, the long run, you need something extra other than your intellect. other than your education. Other than your ability to do all the things that you do, you need that extra turbo booster in your relationship. You need something that's the glue that keeps you stuck together so that you can become great. And great doesn't necessarily mean you have a lot of money or you have fame and fortune. It's that you have peace with each other. You have understanding with each other. That come what may, you're able to go through the storm together.
I think that we can. We can grow together, we can change together, and we can make it work. You know, everybody individually has a responsibility for growth and change and actions and what have you. But when you do it together, it's much better. It's much easier because then you've got your spouse, you know, or your significant other stirring you, you know, cheering you on. They're your cheering section just like you're their cheering section.
All right. So the points of this podcast, I will reiterate really quickly, were respecting each other's differences. I think it's very important that we respect each other's differences. That should be the foundation of our relationship in terms of why you're with him, why you're with her. It's important to admit when you're wrong. That's huge. That's going against, unfortunately, today's current. But today's current is nuts. You want to admit you're wrong. You want to say I'm sorry, and then you want to work on changing. You want to give your all. If not now, then when? Give your all, you know? And I'm saying that because there are people that could be in a relationship, could be in a marriage, but they're just too prideful. They're hiding. And then the last one is go deep. Go deep. Go deep in yourself. Know yourself. You owe that to yourself. I met an old man who said to me more than three times, David, I've wasted over 20 years of my life, and I should have. I don't want to live my life saying shoulda, coulda, woulda. I'm not doing that. I don't want you to do that either. So I want to thank you for watching the podcast. I want to thank Queens Karen and Sherry. And we will see you next time on A King and Two Queens. Peace.
Peace.
Let me upgrade. I hear you be the block, but I'm the life to keep the streets on. No, this true the type that like to keep them on the leash, though. I'm known to walk alone, but I'm alone for a reason. Sending me a drink ain't appeasing, believe me. Come home.